Turns, please, to 2 Timothy, chapter 1. See about the Lord. God straightens us. A friend of mine was talking about bumper cars standing in line with his three-year-old, watching the smiling faces of adults and kids out there. Could run into anybody they wanted to without any fear of tickets or premium insurance. He identified four kinds of people behind the wheels. One is the avoider, tries to make those perfect oval laps. And it's kind of like in real life, he said, a lot of people just, it's all the same patterns, like they forgot how to have fun.
The others are the jammed up drivers, and they try to get out in the open, but seems like they're blocked a lot and they can't sustain the momentum. The third kind is a crasher. They just delight maneuvering around to crash into all the victims they possibly can. A lot of times they don't like it as much when they get plowed into. And the fourth is a stalled driver. Can't seem to get the dumb thing going. And so they get out and start pushing, then they get yelled at. And finally, about the time the whole thing's over, they have another car. But he's talking about the life with its thrills and crashes. We're all different, kind of drive different, kind of live different, look at life different. But the important thing is to let our heavenly companion, the Lord, in there with us, even in the driver's seat. Let him drive. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, picking up from verse 3, we read here, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the strength and stability that you give us in our lives, and the joy in serving you. Thank you, Lord, for the compassion you give in our hearts as we watch the other drivers of life and reach out to them, trying to help them. Thank you, Lord, for your grace to them. And Lord, we pray that you help us to understand better, because of this day, what you give in our lives to help us to overcome fear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Timothy is very gifted, but he's a young man. And he's pastoring a church of around 10,000 people or more. He has a Greek father. That's different. There are certain insecurities. He's got an upset stomach that bothers him a lot, maybe an ulcer. So Paul encourages him. He seems to have some fear in his life. Fear can bring you into action. Sometimes fear is good. I read about two men working for the gas company, and they're working down from one house to the other. Finally got around to the last house, and the boss said to the other guy, I'll race you back to the car, to the van, to the truck. A lady looking out the window saw them racing down the streets. Moments later, they're flying out of the alley at full speed. She's right behind them. And they stop, everybody's gasping for breath, and they say, well, what in the world is wrong? She replied, when I see two gas men running as hard as you two were, I figured I'd better run too. Sometimes a fear, we can just run a little faster. Sometimes our fears are the result of our insecurities, our inabilities, and inaction. And God says, in place of the fear, he wants to give us power. He wants to replace that with love and a strong mind. Power here is looking to the strength of God. And so the power has the idea of explosive action. It's from the power of the Holy Spirit working in us comes the idea of dynamite. It's just explosive, and it moves us. So it takes us from our inadequacy to a can-do spirit. As a young teen, my mom took me to a youth rally. No other youth were going. I go, "Mom, why are we going to this youth rally? I don't like Waterloo anyway. I'm a farm boy. Why do I have to go to a big youth rally?" "So you're going." "Well, there's no youth leader going. Nobody's going." "Well, I'm taking you." And so she took me to the youth rally. That's just my mom. She just wanted me under the teaching of the Word of God and to find as much as possible going on in Christian life to encourage me. I don't remember what they spoke about that night, but I do remember a musician by the name of Morrison, and he sang "Follow Me." And the song goes, "I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune. I'm worth a lot to thee." I don't identify with that at all. If I wasn't a ministry, I wouldn't be rich. I wouldn't be famous. There's really little to give up except some of my dreams. Then I heard him gently say to me, "I left the throne in glory and counted it but lost. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross." My mom knew I needed to be there that night, and hear this one song was so powerful to change my life. We never know. A musician never knows when they minister in music like that, that somebody 60 years, 50 years later, still so touched just by that one song. But we want to keep serving the Lord with all of our hearts. Within me is infinite power in Christ. Before me is endless opportunity. Around me is boundless opportunity. So why should I fear? Ephesians chapter 3, 20 and 21. I love this. "Now unto him is," could stop with that verb, just say, well, that's a great verse right there. But Paul compounds and compiles for our little minds to understand something about the power of God. He says, "Now unto him that is able," that's a verb, "to do exceedingly, abundantly, above," wow, Paul. And he says, "all that we ask," can't even think this great, "according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, amen." If God's going to receive glory in this world, I think we need to look to God's people to bring him glory. Glory in the church, he says. It's up to God's people to invest our lives to bring God's glory. But here's the spirit of power. It's within us. It's not on the outside. It's not that which can be seen. Nobody can just look at your life and say, "I see all that power there." It's not about how we dress. It's not about how much money you have or your position in life. You have to look inside, and there you see the power, and it's very real. Many times we see, you know, what is weak. We look at our background, or we say, "I don't see anything, you know, really within me." But yet inside you there is power. Such power. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Wow. Years ago, my Navy friend and I, we took our motorcycles. I got out of San Diego every chance I got. And so we took a motorcycle trip for the weekend, went to, not really Las Vegas, went to Lake Mead, went to the Hoover Dam. We looked at that. And, you know, you look at Hoover Dam, here's all this power, but there's no lightning, no thunder, you know, no electricity going up to the clouds. It's just a big concrete dam with a road going across the top, nothing to impress you that way. And that's kind of like our lives. You may look normal, you may feel like you're ineffective, but inside you, the power is on inside, and inside you, My friend is the power of God. So you can say, I got his power in me. You may look weak, but you're strong. On the outside, you may struggle, but on the inside, there's courage. On the outside, you have very little, but on the inside, you have all things in Christ. And here's the spirit of power. It's the ability to get things done. It's the ability to do the impossible, the dunamis, the dynamite of God that's active, positively, energetic in our behalf. Paul said it this way in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." So that's God's power. As God makes us willing, and then the same power enables us to do it. So we can say, I can do it. I can do it. Through Christ. Somebody wrote about a missing cat, escaped from the clinic. I said, sorry, no reward. But you'll know him by what he's afraid of. Bare electrical wires. Explains the nervous meows. Fan belts and ignition sounds. Explains about napping on motors. Slamming doors. It explains the kinky tail. Setting hills. Explains why he's blind in one eye. Rat poison. That explains his sickly appearance. Thin ice. Explains his sniffles and hacky cough. A cat box near the fireplace. Explains the burnt spots and fear fires. Clothes dryers. Explains the paranoia of little kids. Paper wads, squirt guns, etc. Explains the BBs in his hair. 4th of July. Explains why his hair's on end. Doberman puppies. Explains his shredded ear. Striped kitties. Explains how he smells. Big ganders. Explains his scars. His own shadow explains why you find him snarling under porches. Busy streets explains that three-legged hobbling walk. Vet clinics, well, explains the neutering and why he's only half declawed. As I said, he escaped. You usually see him running the other direction. And the kids affectionately call him Lucky. Well, to say, I don't think I have what it takes, or I got a lot of fear in my life. You have what it takes when you have Christ in you. And if God says you can share the good news, then you can share the good news. I know I don't have what it takes. I never did. But we can do all things through Christ in us. So that's why, you know, this week I want to go to St. Louis and preach to the JWs on Friday and Saturday out there in the streets. It's only through Christ. I know this old boy too well. I'm just a bashful little kid, scared to talk and that kind of thing. God says you can do it. And so you can rise high. You can cross that mountain. You can cross that river. You can overcome that temptation in your life. It's a power that exceeds the abilities that you have to expand beyond our limits. And so God gives us this exceedingly abundant power that he's talking about, above everything that you could possibly imagine. Paul taught, you know, the people of Ephesus how to pray, Ephesians 1:18. Lyle says he loves the Ephesians. I understand why. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory and inheritance of the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, whom he raised from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. He put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So Paul is asking, God, that I may know you, and God, that I may know your power, the power of the resurrection here. And so God wants us to exceed past our own expectations, in fact, past our imagination, past our best wishes. If you're shooting for a 10, God wants you to go past 10 through his power. If you're amazed at how far you can go, we're often amazed at, Fairhaven people. I often ask Irene, how can they do that? One thing, obviously, is the parking lot's getting all paved up and everything, hot days and everything. How can they do that? And I see the devotion, many people, many areas. How can they do that? And so faithfully, and just go on and on, perpetually, serving God, never giving up. God can count on them. God can count on you to get the job done. And then I hear her bragging on the telephone. She's talking to somebody about the people of Fairhaven, the things they're doing there. It explains things that are, just amazing. Well, it's because you draw your strength from the Lord. If you want to go for 100, then God says you can go past 100, beyond everything, exceedingly, abundantly, more than you could ever ask or think. And so God kind of blows our minds with our power, because we look back and we say, I can't believe it either. How'd that happen through me? And so we're kind of prone to look to our past record. How'd it go in the past? And that can be discouraging. Now, Irene and I, we kind of remember the past, and we think we can do a lot of things, and then we look at our bodies, and we go, well, I guess I can't do that, what I used to do. Working under the car, trying to put the starter up in there, my back into the all that stuff in the concrete, and trying to force that up there. I'm an old man. That was a lot of work, but finally got it done. Hey, we can get a lot done through the power of God, through the wisdom of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the power of God that exceeds and excels. So don't allow negativity to put you down. God is exceptional beyond all that we ask or think. It's not about what others have achieved, but it's about what God can do in your life. It's not your faltering steps, but God is ready to help you make those quantum leaps. And you're just amazed. We can do that. But it's mostly, we've been in a one-on-one kind of world. I mean, what, for all these years, one-on-one on the streets, witnessing, one-on-one, one-on-one, all over the place. But now in a single day, we touch thousands through the internet. And so God, I didn't know God was preparing me back then to get answers one-on-one on the street, prepare me now to speak to thousands. But I love it. That's God's plan. God does not want us to have this spirit of fear, but we can do it, and we have done it, not ourselves, but in God. And God also has given us the spirit of love. 1 John 4:17 deals with that sense of inferiority. You know what that is? I do. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And so here's the love of God perfected. Perfected. The love of God is complete. The love of God is not like, that's half enough. But the other half of God, or the other half of God hates us. This is to say, God loves us completely, through and through, 100%. We have the love of God. So this is what the Spirit does, gives us confidence, gives us boldness. You ever need boldness? You go, I don't know if I can go up there, I don't know if I can do that, I don't know if I can say, get rid of that. Just look to God and say, let's go do it. And God says, even in the day of judgment here, we can stand before God with boldness. I was dating a girl when I was in the Navy, and I met another girl, pastor's daughter, and she liked me a lot. I liked her a lot. I wasn't going there as far as romance, because I already had a girlfriend back home. Well, I think that hurt her feelings, and then I think I made her dad mad. So later on, he's a pastor. Later on, fast forward some years, I'm pregnant. We're on our knees praying. And so I just prayed something about, Lord, we humbly come to you. And then a little later, he prayed, and he said, God, we don't humbly come to you. We come to you with boldness unto the Lord. And that's really, you know, it's really true. We come to God with boldness. God says, come boldly on the throne of grace. I think it's all right. Be humble too, don't you? But God's love makes us accepted. So God does not want us to fail. God does not want to hurt you. You know, thinking about cats. Here's one more. I read about how to clean a toilet. Add the required amount of shampoo to the toilet water and put up both lids. Pick up the cat and soothe him while you carry him towards the bathroom. In one smooth moment, put the cat in the toilet and close both lids. You may need to stand on the lid. The cat will self-agitate, making ample sense. Don't worry about the noises from the toilet because the cat is actually enjoying this. Flush the toilet 3 or 4 times. This provides the power wash and the rinse. I have somebody open the front door and to the outside. Make sure there's no people between the toilet and outside door. Stand behind the toilet. Quickly lift both lids. The cat will rocket out of the toilet, run outside, dry himself off, both the commode and the cat will be sparkling clean, signed, sincerely, Rover the dog. Well, that could be a scary thing for a cat, yeah? But we look to God. God does not want to hurt you. Even in the judgment, God does not want to scare you. God wants to show you his love. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus comes that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. And so we don't confuse God with the thief. We don't confuse God with the devil. It's the devil who wants us to know the spirit of fear. The Lord is the giver of life. And the Lord loves you so much that he would not even withhold his own son to demonstrate his love for you. And so we come into his presence with confidence. We know we're accepted in the beloved, not with the spirit of fear. He deals with our insecurities. Never really does something for us when we know that the, you know, other people may not like me so well, but the King of Kings does. And I'm accepted by the King of Kings. And so God wants us to become his representatives. God wants us to be his ambassadors. Now, if the United States is going to pick an ambassador to go to Japan, they'll look him over real close. They'll make sure this guy's got the right credentials, doesn't have social issues, doesn't have a history. And they go, yeah, he's all right. And Japan looks at this, makes sure this individual does not hate Japan. And finally they say, he'll work. He's okay. Well, the Bible says we are God's ambassadors. And my friend, God has checked you out. You go, well, I've got a history. I got a pass. God is not just looking at you, whether or not you pass the test. But God says you're okay. God has qualified you to be his ambassador. God wants you as his ambassador. You say, I'm not qualified. God knows you're not qualified, but he looks at you through Jesus Christ. Who is inside you? God sees the Holy Spirit of God in your life, and he qualifies you to be his ambassador. It's not about me and what I have done, but it's about Jesus Christ and what he has done. Praise God. God sees us. Not through our father, not through our mother, not through our education. We'd never be qualified. But God says, I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at the one who lives inside you. I have qualified you to be my ambassador through Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. inside your life. Then we think about the adversity. Somebody said, do not fear adversity. Remember, a kite rises against the sun, or against the wind. Kite rises against the wind rather than with it. We can arise in the Lord even in the midst of the battle. So it's through His strength. We do not take flight. We do not run from the battle. We do not wander into the wilderness. We do not escape into alcohol and sex and gambling, all that nonsense. We do not throw up our hands and say, you know, life's not worth it, because life is worth it when we're living for Jesus. And that's where the adventure starts. I think every day is a great day. Man, I love life. But I can't wait, you know, hardly to call it quits and go to heaven. Not because of my struggles, but because I see struggles around me and I feel sorry for other people. I go, God, how long? Let's go. But we look at the power, we look at the love, and God says, I also give you a sound mind. That's very important. It deals with our sense of inaction. Don't you just freeze up. Refuse to move. No, here we act. It's the idea of bringing one back to his senses. And so we have self-control to overcome the spirit of fear. It causes you to focus instead of doing nothing. The lion's roar, you know, is so drastic. There's the prey out there. When the lion roars, that is so fierce, it'll paralyze so many animals, so they become the victim by their own inaction. We freeze up and we get caught. Our voices can't travel like a lion's voice, cannot penetrate walls like a lion. But that's how the spirit of fear works. Roaring into your bedroom, crashing through penetrating walls. And when you hear the fear, when you hear the adversary, then friend, you can freeze up, waiting to be defeated. That's what other people do. Through the Spirit of God, you don't have to do that. Others don't find anything fear in that. They don't hear what you're hearing. It's attacking you. They do not see what you're seeing. They do not feel what you're feeling. But you want to run for your life because it's a lion. The devil is a liar. The devil's a lion waiting to devour you. How do you deal with the lion? God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love. Love and power. His power and a sound mind. What does a sound mind from God do? Well, we think clearly. We think with clarity. Come to our senses. Clarity means you have the ability to know between, you know, what's a real sound and what's just the echo that follows the sound. The reverberation. It's not the real thing. Sometimes when fear is happening, it's not the real thing. You're reacting to what somebody has said, the confusion as others talk. But here's a sound mind with clarity, so you're composed. We have this composure. Praise God, we have self-control to stand up, face this thing. So God gives us peace and keep our actions right and stay under control. Downtown, around the streets, you know, people are in trouble. And then what happens? Often in life, they just begin wandering around. They wear out their welcome so many places. So they're wandering around. They're begging where they should not beg. They can't compose themselves. They don't pull themselves together. I was standing on the front porch, and I hear a call from the road just yesterday. Somebody got a real place to meet people. But the guy was lost, and his cell was dead. And so came up on my porch and charged his cell. Looked like it just crawled out from underneath a bridge. Talked a little bit about relationships, mentioned his ex-wife, sweating away. I got him some water, gave him a track. I started to tell him, you know, for anybody that's lost, spiritually you need Jesus. He's the answer. But he's pretty speechless, unresponsive, sitting there, facing his phone. Finally, somebody's at the door, so I went in the house. I said, you can stay here as long as you want to. I came back out, he's gone. As far as gratitude, my track was still there. Well, he walks right past the very one who can fix his life. Sound mind for our comprehension. We don't have that without the Lord. Praise God we have this with the Holy Spirit within us. So the comprehension means you can see what is going on. In fact, you see God's hand on your life. I'm old now. I look back. I see, wow, God. I just tell him almost every day, like, wow, God. Wow, I just can't believe it. You did that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. I don't deserve this. I know that. I don't deserve it. But God has been so good to me. So God brings us to destiny. You think about when Jesus was baptized. Then he is led into the wilderness and tempted for 40 days. Sometimes we have some of the greatest experiences in our lives, and then what happened? You know, through all of these blessings, like, what happened? But when Jesus came back from the 40 days, the Word of God says he came back with power. Hallelujah. Power. Power of God. And so don't let the hardships of life discourage you. We need comprehension to show us that the path was not a mistake. We're looking to the Lord. It was not a mistake. God knew what he was doing. And so we're here for an assignment. And it's important for us to fulfill the assignment. I can't believe how many quitters there are in this generation. Quitters! Well, some people aren't reliable. Our son-in-law, Jared, got a job. One thing they wanted to know, one of the big things they want to know, my pastor, education, some of these things, can you just show up for work? That's what they're asking today. Can they find people who will not quit on them, who will show up and check in when it's time to work? A lot of quitters in this world. I don't understand that. Where's responsibility? I don't understand quitting on God. A lot of people do. God will help us fulfill our assignment with a sound mind. Glory to God. And to do something positive with our lives. Glory to God. That's how we want to finish. So you hear the roar of the lion, or you hear the voices that would defeat you. But you hear the voice of God and you say, it's going to be okay. Sound mind from God. Sound mind from God. But you don't do anything silly, as people are doing all over the place. So it's because we have this comprehension, we have this clarity, and we have this control. We have the sound mind. Sound mind. Give God praise for that. Thank God for your sound mind God has given you from spending time in his words. All because Jesus Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And it's because of destiny. He'll change your destiny. He'll change your life. And I'm here to tell you a living example. He'll change your fears and take them away. And you know that too. Take your fears. Take them away.
strength through the Lord. Father, thank you for that strength. Thank you, Lord, for changing us. There's something, Lord, within our old nature often wants to be one of those quitters in life, not to show up and check in, not to be responsible, not to take that time, Lord, to have our devotions and call upon you. God, we know that's a mistake. Thank you for giving us a sound mind. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord. We just identify with the truth once again so much that we need you. In Jesus' name, amen.